As I talked a few weeks ago, this is the sixth week of Christianity 101. Hopefully, we've learned something and taken something out of it. 6 weeks ago, we started by talking about the milk and the meat of the message. And we started the conversation about how we needed to graduate from the milk to the meat. A child that is growing is not going to find themselves by 2 years old, you're eating solid food or else there might be an issue. You know, I mean, it just seems to be that as we grow older, we have this need for more sustenance and more nutrition than just the milk that we get as a child. Now, it's good for a while. It helps you develop to a certain point. But at some point, you've got to go deeper in the message. So that's what we've been trying to do over the last few weeks. We've talked about the milk versus the meat. We've talked about our spiritual life up to this point. And then the last 3 weeks, this being the third, we are now engulfed in a conversation. And actually, I'm going to continue the conversation on Hebrews 13, but I'm also going to bring up something that I know that we talked about not too long ago, but I want to look at it in a different light as well. And that being the story of the rich young ruler. And we're going to talk about both of those today. I do want to go back just a little bit and talk. This whole thing started a few weeks ago. I guess it's been almost 6 or 7 months ago. Joe came in one morning for Sunday school and was telling a story about Ravi Zacharias, who had been encouraged by his staff to preach a message on, has Christianity failed you? And he said, I don't know if we should do that, but sure, why not? Let's do it. And so he decided to put up on a board that they were going to, he said, discussion topic. Now, this was something they were selling tickets to. He said, discussion topic or whatever. It was like, has Christianity failed you? And he didn't think anybody would show up, anybody would even care about the topic. 4,000 people showed up. They sold out, and the place was packed. And it was because people were interested in understanding the answer to that question. The reality of it is, as we talk about it and where we've been over the last few weeks, has Christianity failed you? No. That's the common conversation that I've been having here. Christianity itself has not failed you. Christ has not failed you. But in that discussion, and where I'm going to end up today, is going to put us in a situation where we understand what has failed us. And so as we look at this, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been talking Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, 1 through 7, 1 through 8. I've covered kind of the whole thing, but today there's a couple verses I really want to focus on. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, and as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the topic that we've had the last couple of weeks. And I have constantly come back to verse 8. It's not very often when you take a section of scripture that you constantly come back to one verse. But again, I want to start there and simply say this. Verse 8, Jesus is the same today and yesterday and forever. What does that mean? We've kind of covered it a little bit. We kind of wrapped things up last week, finishing this way. It basically means that God doesn't change. Jesus has never changed. He never will change. In other words, we serve the same Christ we read about in the Bible. There's not any difference in him today as there was in the time when he was walking on this earth or when he was serving them through spirit. There's not a difference in any time now compared to the God we discussed in Sunday school about creation. This is the same God that we serve today. Now, why? Why am I so emphatically pointing that out? Well, let's just take a quick look at this. If God has changed, then what does that do for the Word of God? If God has changed so much that we feel the need to redefine what God means in His Word, then what does that mean for His Word? Because the reality of it is, God created us. God wrote His Word, and God gave us understanding through His Spirit. So therefore, what has changed? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what has changed? Well, the answer to that is us. Our listening to the Spirit of God at work, our answering to the call that He places in our lives, those are the things that have changed. God has not changed. The message has not changed. The Word has not changed. We are the ones that have changed it. To make it fit our conversation, to make it fit our argument, to make it fit what we want to say. And again, I remind you that there are many who will come before Him one day and will say, "Lord, Lord." And He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." You see, we see it day in and day out. The vocal ones within the church, the ones that we wish would shut up sometimes. And I know I don't like to use those words, but I'm being honest here. We don't want to tell people to shut up, but sometimes we have to. But the reality of it is, those are the ones that are speaking out on behalf of all. Again, it kind of goes back to the discussion about the "we" thing with the royal family. You know, there are many who will step out and call themselves leaders of the Christian faith and will speak on behalf of Christians. And we hear the message that's being spoken and we're like, "Huh? What is this nonsense that you speak of? And what have you done with the true message of the gospel?" And it happens day in and day out. And we hear people who call themselves ministers, who call themselves followers, who call themselves Christians, who have then turned around and made it an argument that it didn't need to be. And in that process of this argument, what it has turned into is we're sitting there looking at it and we're going, "Wow, Christianity has failed." Because we're not sharing the message that needs to be shared. So has Christianity failed? No, but the messenger has. The church has. That's where I want to focus today. And the reason I want to focus on that as we look at it and we come back to that point. Zacharias looked at this. Ravi Zacharias looked at this. And as I reached out and mentioned last week, he had people who were selling tickets, scalping tickets outside of this thing. Because people were so interested in it. There's got to be something to the question. There's got to be something to this question that he asked. Has Christianity failed you? And as we looked at it, and I read a couple of things from the book that he wrote, and we start looking at this situation, let's go back to verse 5 for a moment. There's something I skipped last week that I want to touch on this week, and that is simply this. In verse 5, it says, "Keep your life free from money," right? No. What does it say?
Mine says, "Don't fall in love with money."
Okay. Keep your life free from the love of money. It doesn't just say keep your life free from money. It says keep your life free from the love of money. How can I best relate that to us today? Well, what did Jesus say? They asked him about paying taxes and he said, "Give me a coin." And he held it up and he said, "Whose image is on this coin?" And they're saying, "Caesar." And he says, "Then rend Caesar what is Caesar." Give Caesar what belongs to him, what bears his likeness. Give him what is owed him. All right? So pay your taxes. That's what Jesus says. But then Jesus made another comment in that conversation. What did he say? "Rend God what is God's." Do I need to take you back to Genesis 1:26? Where he says, "Let us make man in our own image." That means, what bears the image of God? It's an easy answer. If you've sat in church for any amount of time, I hope you've heard this one. You do. You bear the image of God. I bear the image of God. We were created in God's image. Does that mean that we all look like God? No. Spiritually, we were created in the image of God. But I can look around this room and say, okay, if God is one mixture of all of us, then that's a jumbled mess, I'm sure. Because facially speaking, I don't think God looks like us. But spiritually speaking, we are to look like Him. We were created in His image. We were created to share the gospel message. We were created to live out, to breathe the breath that He breathed into our lungs. We were created in that image. That is who we are. And He says to rend God what is God, or to give God's what is God's. See, if He uses the coin as a reference, the coin bears the image of Caesar, so therefore God placed His image on us. We bear the image of God, and therefore we are to give what? To God. We are to give our lives. We bear the image of God. And if we're giving the whole coin to Caesar, then why are we not giving the whole coin to God? If we're the coin that bears God's image, why are we not giving it to God? This is where we're at. This is why Christianity seems to have failed us in many ways. This is why the church seems to exist in a difficult situation today, is because when we look at this, we have fallen in love with money. Because that prosperity gospel that people are preaching, the one that says, if you just live your life in a certain way, God will bless you and give you everything that you want. God didn't ever say that. God said through Christ that this world will hate you because it hated Me first. God said through Christ that in this world you have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. God said through Christ, your sins are forgiven. God gave us the message of Christ for us to be successful with the life that we have. Does it mean that that life is going to look successful in the eyes of the world? No, but it does mean that we will overcome the troubles the world places in front of us. We will overcome the circumstances that we're facing today. So as we look at this and we move forward, this gets us to an interesting point. And this gets us to verse 7. Now, I've already talked about verse 8. Why would I talk about verse 8 before I talk about verse 7? Well, let's just put it this way. Verse 8 is evident from verse 1 through. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That being said, verse 7 has a very important message that each of us can take into our heart and lives and apply. Verse 7 says this, remember your leaders. Folks, there are leaders in this church, there are leaders in this community, there are leaders in this country, and there are leaders in this world. And this is telling us to remember your leaders. What does it say after that? Those who spoke to you the word of God. Okay, so now we're talking about spiritual leaders. That doesn't necessarily mean in this church. That means the ones that have been instrumental in leading you, in guiding you, in teaching you. Those who have shared the word of God and have shared it the correct way to teach you about who God is and what He is. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jim Heaton, Jim Green. These are names that come to mind when I'm thinking about this. I mean, I could go through a list of names of people that I knew growing up. Curtis Martin was always one. I mean, I can think of the names of men and of leaders that I remember in church who I felt and I feel exemplified or still exemplified. I mean, there's some today that Tommy Oakes is one, where I think about this situation and this conversation, and he says, remember your leaders. Remember what they've taught you out of the Word of God. But here's the important part. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Well, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's think about some of these ways of faith that we're talking about. Jesus Christ, Moses, David, Peter, Paul. If we think about these instrumental figures within our Christian faith, even Noah, the fact that Noah was faithful to build an ark when it hadn't really rained. I mean, it's like people walking by going, who is this moron and what's he doing? What have you done with Noah? Because this is not the Noah we know. How many times have you ever heard that when you come to faith and somebody says, well, you've changed? Well, I hope so. I hope you've changed when you come to faith. But as we look at this, he says, consider your leaders. What does it mean? Verse 7 is the first of three verses that refer to Christian leaders. Verses 7, 17, and 24. And I'm just going to read those other two to you real quickly. Verse 17 says, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then verse 24, greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. But this is the first of three verses in chapter 13 that mentions the leaders. Okay, verse 17 is vitally important, along with verse 7. I purposely didn't include it in the actual text of what we were looking at. But the reason I want to look at this today in this way is simply this. It says Christians are to be followed in as much as they are following Jesus. So if you have a leader who is following Christ, then he's worth following. If you have a leader who's not, is he worth following? So this is where Christianity has failed. The leaders within our church, the leaders within our community who call themselves Christians, the leaders that we have are not being remembered for their example of Christ, but rather their example apart from Christ. They're not being remembered for leading the church in the proper way because they're being remembered for leading the church in a way that glorifies their deeds, glorifies their meaning. There are many in the church today who think they have it right. But I'm going to tell you right now, the American church has failed the American Christian. The American church has failed Christianity as a whole. Now, notice how I said that. I didn't say Christianity has failed the American church. I said the American church has failed Christianity because we're not the example we should be to the people around us. We're not reaching out. We're pulling in. And we're saying, well, we don't need this person in our church because of what they might do to the church. We don't need that person in the church because of what they might say. We don't need this group of people in the church because they're sinners and they're going to lead us all to hell. The reality of it is we're all sinners, and without the grace of God, we're destined for hell ourselves. The reality of life is that Christ came and died, and as Blake pointed out, knows our name. He knows the ones he died for by name. He knew us before we were born. He knew us in the womb. He knew us intimately before the world knew us. Therefore, what is the story? It is simply that Christ died knowing you, even though he had never met you face to face physically on this earth. He knew you. He created you. He died for you so that you could have a life. He died to be a leader, and he was, and he is, and he always will be that leader. The same leader yesterday, today, and forever. Not a different leader based on the circumstance and situation. There is no moral relevancy when it comes to the Christ that we speak of in the Bible. The Christ that we worship today. The Christ who is in control of his church and his bride and will return. It's the same. There's no difference today. So as we look at this, and if you want to look at this, if you really want to break it down, this is the precise reason that we're where we are, because Christian leadership must flow from Jesus or it's not Christian leadership. It doesn't come from a book other than the Bible. It doesn't come from one man saying, well, this is how the church should operate and this is how we should operate. It doesn't come from anything other than a faith in Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected for our sins, and the fact that his spirit should be the leadership for this church. It doesn't come from worldly practice. It doesn't come from programs and invitations that we give out to tell people, hey, well, we've got this kind of music. Well, that's great, but are you worshiping the Lord? Or are you worshiping your idea of the Lord in what you call music or what you call preaching? Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's no wrong way to worship God except for to worship everything but God in worship. If you are truly bringing a joyful noise to the Lord, I don't think it matters what the song is. If you are truly looking at the scripture and you are truly coming with a heart of worship, I don't think it matters how you come, because the scripture says to bring a joyful noise, to bow down before Him in worship, and to wholly give yourself over to it. Your life is worship. See, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not something that we come and do on a Sunday morning. It's not just a couple of songs we sing. It's not just a sermon that's preached. It is your life. And if your life is not a worship, if you're not worshiping with every aspect of who you are, if you're not totally giving yourself over to God, are you doing anyone a justice around you? Because when they see you come on a Sunday morning but live like hell the rest of the week, like I said last week, if you are not living out what you are coming to church to preach, then why are you coming to church? Because why are you putting in the time and the effort and the energy to come and sit through something that you really don't need to hear because you're not going to take it and walk out those doors with it anyway? See, that's what life struggles to put you into. Has Christianity failed you? Yes, because we've stopped addressing that issue in the church. We've stopped telling people that they're wrong by walking out those doors and doing the exact opposite of what they heard inside this building. We've stopped telling people that they're sinners because it might offend them. We've stopped telling people that this lifestyle or that lifestyle is wrong because, oh no, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. They're so soft. That's the American church and where it has gone wrong. We've started to cater to the needs of those who become easily offended. And the problem with that is that you're offended by the Word of God. There's a reason you're offended. And it's not to go and change the Word of God and say, well, there's this God that I believe in that I just don't think He'd send people to hell. Bull! He won't send people to hell? Then why did He write about it in His book? Why did He give us the story of what hell is and what's going to be there? Why did He tell us that people will go to hell? Why did He say, depart from me, I never knew you? It's a legit question, right? We're talking about Christian leadership and where it has failed us. The church has failed. Leadership has failed. Christianity has never failed and never will. Because true Christianity is following the true leader. As I mentioned before, we're going to go to Mark 10 for a second. I'm going to look at it in a different way. The rich young ruler. Here's the story. We all know it. But what was the interesting factor in what the rich young ruler was presented with when he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Well, Jesus basically told him the Ten Commandments, right? And in fact, he took those six commandments that have to do with others, and he mentioned them first. And he said, well, you need to do not covet, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not do. And what did the guy say? Well, I do all that. All right, let me put this into a different perspective for you. What do we normally think about when it comes to leaders? What do we normally think about when it comes to rulers? They are leaders, right? So let's put this into perspective of the church today. This rich young ruler, this guy who had it all figured out, who was living his life by the law, who was doing exactly what the law told him he needed to do. And then the Lord said something to him. He said, that's good. There's a lot of people that do that. He said, sell all your possessions. Give up everything for this cause that you want. Get rid of the life that you want to have and have the life that I want you to have. What'd the guy do? Turned around and walked away because he wasn't willing to sell out to Christ. He wasn't willing to sell out for Christ. He wasn't willing to go that extra step and give up everything for the cause of the kingdom. Why has Christianity failed today? Because the Christian leaders have failed to sell out. They have failed to give everything up in service to the kingdom. I apologize if I've ever failed you in that way. And I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes in my life. And I don't reach out as much as some ministers do within the church. I realize that. Some people don't get phone calls from me like they should. And I apologize for that. I get busy and get wrapped up in things. And that's no excuse. The reality of it is any of us truly willing to give up everything about our life for service to the kingdom? Is any of us truly willing to give up everything we know when God puts that urge on our heart? Because has Christianity failed you, or have you failed yourself? in Christianity. See, God's never failed you. Men will fail you. The Bible tells us that. I will fail you. You will fail me. That's just the plain and simple way about how it goes. I mean, we fail each other daily. But Christ will never fail you. You see, here in this chapter 13, it says, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Well, man can make you feel bad about yourself. Man can make you feel like less of a person. Man can make you feel like you're nothing. But has Christianity truly failed you? No. Man has failed you. Was it Psalm 118:8 says, "It's better to put your trust in the Lord than in man." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says what? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." You see, there's something about the Scripture today that we can truly rest in and understand. And when we look at it, it all comes back to these 8 verses in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 says that the Christian life is a good life. Now, not in those words, obviously. But the Christian life is a great life. The Christian life is the life we want to live. You see, the Christian life is livable, but only through the Spirit of God at work in His people. The Christian life is a life that should be lived, and it's a good place to start. When we look at these 8 verses, this is a great place for us to start. But it is nowhere near where we need to finish. What is it Paul said to Timothy? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And now laid up for me are treasures in heaven." But I had to live the life I was called to live to successfully do that. What did that look like? It meant selling out. Now, let me think about Paul's past for a moment. Paul was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians because he was a Pharisee and he wanted to persecute and kill Christians. And he had an experience with God. In fact, Paul held the coats at Stephen's stoning. So one thing that we look at in this whole matter of things is simply this. If Paul can be saved, if Paul can be called out of this darkness that he was in into a life of light to share with others, why can't you? Christianity didn't fail Paul. Paul had failed Christianity until he saw the light. If David can be called a man after God's own heart, why can't you? If David, a sinner, an adulterer, a man who couldn't look away from a naked woman on a roof to the point that he ended up having an affair, having a child, and then getting her husband killed, another murderer. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart. Why can't you? I don't know what you've done in your life that has caused you to think you are so bad that you can't be saved. But if that's where you're at today, I simply just say this. The call of Christ goes out to everyone in this way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ died on a cross for the sins of those who will answer His call. He died on a cross, His blood was shed, and then He was raised again from the dead to defeat death and hell so that we did not have to suffer the cross and the pain and the agony that came with the penalty of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you hear that? The gift of God is eternal life. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing that you can do to make this life better for yourself or anybody else other than to follow the path that He set before you. To follow the leader. Has Christianity failed you today? If the answer that you have to that question is yes, then I encourage you to look into your own life. And instead of looking at it as, has Christianity failed you, figure out where you failed Christianity. Ask God to show you that failure that puts you into that mindset. And then ask God for that moment of repentance, that you can step out on faith and truly come forward and accept that Christianity hasn't failed you. Some of the leaders in it might have, some of the programs that we've tried to throw your way may have, but the reality of it is that the message is the same. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message has not changed in 6,000 years, 7,000 years, whatever it is at this point. The message hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.